Hello, and welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dial Lanier. I'm sorry about that. Welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dial Lanier. It's Wednesday, December 10th, and I'm your host, Dr. Lanier. We air this show every Wednesday live at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and I want to thank you for joining me. For more information on me or the services I offer, you can go to my website, which is www.drdiallanier.com, and that's spelled www.drdiallanier.com. Today's topic is breaking down food labels and nutrition facts. Now, last week we talked about the importance of mental well-being and feeling good about ourselves. We defined what mental well-being was and discussed ways to improve our self-esteem and to manage stress. And a lot of those included eating a healthy diet, exercise, getting enough sleep, and doing something for ourselves, even if it's just for 15 minutes, just something for ourselves to make us feel better every day. Today, I want to break down the food labels and nutrition facts. Now, we see them on foods that we buy and eat, mainly packaged foods, but I want to discuss how food labels can help you eat better. So when we have a packaged food, the label tells us what we're really eating. And by comparing the labels on the products, you can get a balanced diet. You can plan to have a balanced diet, and you can also cut down on fat, salt, sugar, and things of that nature for a better health overall. Now, what I'm going to do is go step by step down the nutrition facts label. So if you happen to have something that's a packaged food, if you're at home and you want to grab something from your kitchen or wherever you are, if you happen to have something, that'd be great to go ahead and grab it so you can follow along with the nutrition label, because I'm going to go step by step. In case you do not, I will give an example of one that I have here. Okay, so how they can help us eat better. When you look on the nutrition facts label, it has the first thing on there is the serving size, and the next on that line is the servings per container. Now, the serving size is the suggested serving for an average portion, and usually the portion is going to be small, so it's not going to be the whole bag or whole container or box. Everything listed on the label, like calories and fat, are based on that particular serving size. Now, when it has servings per container, that's how many servings are contained in the entire package, box, or can. So, for example, if you happen to have a small bag of potato chips that may have a serving size of 1 ounce, but the servings per container are 2, if you eat the whole bag, then you have eaten 2 portions. So you're going to need to double the calories and fat that are in that bag of chips. You're going to have to multiply it by 2 to get what you actually had or what you've taken in. Now, the next thing on the list is a section. It breaks down the fat, cholesterol, sodium, total carbohydrate, and protein. And the numbers in one column are the percent of daily value. Now, that can sometimes be a little bit confusing, and what that column tells you is the percentage of the total recommended daily intake of nutrients that food is going to give you. If you happen to eat 2,000 calories per day, that's the thing that gets a little bit confusing. All of those numbers or percentages are based on a 2,000 calorie a day diet. So you may eat more or you may eat fewer calories, but you can use those numbers to help you compare products, and I think they have a better use if you use them for that reason. The first thing in that section is the total fat. For total fat size, what you're looking at is the amount of fat that's in the total package and then the serving size in particular. Now, I'm going to break down for you what low-fat and fat-free things are a little bit later. I skipped down a little bit. I want to go back and talk with you about calories, because that's actually the next thing on the list. Calories In general, they have calories, and then they have calories from fat. Now, when you're looking at calories, and the label that I have here is an example for a chicken enchilada dinner that we use. I got it from a Wellness First example of that label. If you look at the calories, you want to make sure you check the serving size and the servings per container. So for this example, the serving size is 12 ounces, and the servings per container is 1. So in the entire package here, the calories listed is 340 calories, and so that's what you would have. The next thing that's right by the calories are the calories from fat. And for my example, what I have here are out of the 340 total calories, 45 of those calories are from fat. And so that's important. Sometimes you can actually be a little bit surprised at how many calories come from fat in the foods we eat. But both of those numbers are important to look at so you can have an idea of how many calories. As I mentioned before, calories are the energy that we get from food. And so it's important for us to be aware at least of how many calories we're taking in general, but just a broad sense, especially if you're talking about packaged foods, you want to have an idea of how many calories are in the foods that you're eating. Now we'll go back to the total fat. On the example that I have here, the total fat, which is given in grams, is 5 grams of fat. Now, one way that I have heard to look a good rule of thumb when you're looking at fat as it relates to calories would be 3 grams of fat per a 100-calorie amount would be an amount that's acceptable overall to have. For example, in the one that I have here, I gave an example of total calories of 340, and then the total fat is 5 grams. Now, stay with me because I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of afternoon math. But when you're asking yourself, is this a good choice? Should I have this? You can do the math. So if you have 340 calories in something, like I have an example here, that's going to be, you know, about 3 100s on just an estimate. And so if it's 3 grams of fat per 100 calories, what would be allowable for that would be 9 grams of fat would be an acceptable choice. And what I have, the total fat is 5 grams, so that would be something that, okay, that's a good choice for me to have because it's less than what you would even expect. Another example would be if you have something that's 200 calories and it has 10 grams of fat. Now, that wouldn't be a good choice because if you do the rule of thumb and the 3 grams per 100, 3 grams of fat per 100 calories, you would expect to see 6 grams of fat as opposed to 10. So it's more fat than what you expect, and it's something that, you know, there's going to be a better option for you to have, which has less fat in it. The next thing, so that's it. 3 grams of fat per 100 calories is a good rule of thumb to give you a gauge on whether that's a good food choice for you. The next thing that's listed under the total fat amount is saturated fat. Sometimes they'll have other things like monounsaturated, polyunsaturated, and they'll have a list of it. But for the most part, things, you know, they'll have saturated fat. Hopefully, in the foods that you're choosing, they do not have trans fats listed. You would want to stay away from trans fats. So if you're looking at saturated fat, you want for that to be half of the total fat or less. I've actually even seen cases where it's one-third of the total grams of fat is what you'd prefer your saturated fat to be. But for this example, we'll go based on half. And what I have here, the total gram of fat would be 5. And if you have saturated fat listed here is 2. So that would be an acceptable choice because it's less than half of the total grams of fat. Given it, hopefully you have something where you're looking along and it's easier to follow, but just giving some points as we're going down on this food label. We do need fat in our diet, and it's better if you can have good fats and healthy fats. Another thing that is on the label right after the total fat amount is the cholesterol. Now, cholesterol is only found in animal products, and so you might not see it in a lot of foods. It's actually more important for you to look at the total fat. I'll give you an example. If you happen to have something, say you have peanut butter, for example, and actually I do like peanut butter, but if you're needing to watch your cholesterol levels and you happen to have peanut butter and you're thinking, you flip it over and you look and you're like, oh, yeah, that doesn't have any cholesterol in it at all. Well, that's because it's a plant-based product. How, if you look at the total fat amount, though, it's going to have anywhere from 15 up to 18 grams of fat, total fat in it. And then the saturated fat, can vary depending on the brand of peanut butter. So just because something has low cholesterol or even no cholesterol doesn't mean it's going to be low fat, and that's important to consider. If you have problems with your cholesterol levels, you're trying to lower them, it's really more important for you, or if you're just trying to be healthier overall, you do want to focus on the total fat when you're looking at the nutritional label. The next on the list is sodium. Now, sodium, another word for that is salt. So anytime you're talking about a diet, the less sodium that you eat, it's going to be the better. And so for healthy people in general, the recommended amount of sodium or salt in our diets should be 2,400 milligrams or less. So that's 2,400 milligrams or less. And that is about 1 teaspoon of salt. Now, this includes all of the salt in our diets. So it whatever is in the foods, if we're eating packaged foods, you want to look at the salt intake because it includes that. If you cook and you add salt to that meal, that should be included in this total sodium amount. And hopefully you're not shaking on salt after you eat a meal, but that would be included as well. So it's a total fat for us, total amount of sodium that we take in on a day should be 2,400 milligrams or less. If you have high blood pressure, it's been shown that lower sodium amounts are better for blood pressure. It improves it, the lower sodium that you have. And so in those cases, around 1,600 milligrams per day or less would be better if you happen to have high blood pressure or hypertension. So I just want to, in case you're just joining me, you're listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Lanier. I just want to thank you for tuning in. We are talking about food labels and nutrition facts, and we're breaking down that label that's on most of the foods that you can find that are packaged. We're breaking it down line by line so you can know how to eat as healthfully as you can. The next thing on that list after sodium, and I also wanted to mention for you, if you are looking at products in general, a good gauge, because sometimes it's hard to kind of keep a running tab of milligrams of sodium that we're eating, if you want to choose a product that has 250 milligrams of sodium or less per serving, that's going to be a good way to kind of look at the label and say, this has more. I'm going to need to keep an eye on how much I'm taking in. So that would be good. And I have to tell you, you really, if you look, you'd be surprised at how much sodium are in a lot of the foods that we eat. For example, if you're eating frozen meals, even if they're the healthy version, or soups, or things of that nature, if you turn it over, you'll see a lot of sodium. So it is important for us to look out for that. The next on the list is total carbohydrates. Now, that is broken down into two groups. One would be dietary fiber, and the second is sugars. What you want to look for is foods that are high in dietary fiber and low in sugar, as low as you can get it. For dietary fiber, it's broken down into insoluble fiber, which is the stuff that kind of keeps us regular and goes through our system. And then it's also soluble fiber that gets, into our system and helps lower cholesterol and things of that nature. Now, carbohydrates sometimes can get a bad rap, but they are important because they give us long-lasting energy. And if we can have complex carbohydrates rather than too many simple carbohydrates, that's going to be better in our diets overall. If you have a diet high in fiber, I mentioned it can help lower your cholesterol levels, but it also can reduce the risk of some cancers. And if you're looking at a particular food on a label, a good source of fiber would be a product that has 5 grams or more of fiber in it. And with sugars, you just want to look at the label and kind of compare what you're eating and what you're thinking about eating, and the lower the sugar in that is going to be better. The next would be protein. Now, we need about 45 to 60 grams of protein in a day. If you have some health conditions, you might want to limit how much protein that you're taking in, but for the most part, 45 to 60 grams per day is what we would need. We typically get protein from poultry, fish, meat, eggs, milk, cheese, nuts, beans, grain, and some vegetables as well. You don't need to be as particular, because when you're talking about packaged products, for the most part, they're going to have a relatively normal amount of protein or average amount, unless you're getting something that's high protein. And I've seen that in some of those bars, energy bars, that they have out. So just keep an eye on that. The next would be vitamins and minerals. Now, overall, we need 100% of these in our diet. So if you have something that's packaged, you want to choose the highest values that you can. More than likely, though, we're going to get our vitamins and minerals from the diets like fruits and vegetables and things of that nature. That's a better source of vitamins rather than having them solely in a packaged food amount. But the higher, the better, usually, in foods like that. The last thing on the list is the ingredients section. Now, ingredients are listed by weight from the most to the least. So if you have something where butter, oil, or lard, cream or cheese or meat is at the very top of that list, most likely that product is going to be high in fat and maybe even high in cholesterol. And it works the same way for things like sugar. There are some drinks where the first thing listed right after water would be high fructose corn syrup or sugar or some type of syrup or something of that nature. And so they're listed by weight. So the first thing that you see is going to be how much more of it is. So that's good to keep a track of when you're looking at your ingredients. Now, another aspect of when we're looking at the labels or even on the front of it before we even get to the label, some things may say like light or low. It can have reduced, whether it's fat or reduced sugar. And so if we're more aware of what these claims mean, it can make you make healthier choices. You want to look at the food nutrition facts as well. So if you have something that's bold, like a fat-free, right on the front of the package, you still want to look over the nutrition label and see what the other ingredients are. And also you want to find out how much of, say, calories or other objects are in there. So just to take fat first, if you have something that's fat-free, that's going to be something that has less than 0.5 gram or 0.5 grams of fat per serving. So if you have something like cream cheese, they have regular options and they have fat-free options. With low fat, it's going to be no more than 3 grams of fat and 1 gram of saturated fat per serving. So something like waffles, different things. There are a lot of things that are low fat. Sometimes people are happy to put low fat on it, even if it has a lot of sugar and other things. So, like I said, it's important to read the nutrition label. I think it's actually pretty interesting to go in the grocery store when you're shopping to look and find out exactly how much fat are in the regular one versus a low-fat or fat-free option. I mentioned cream cheese earlier, but any of the dairy products or anything like that, you might be surprised at how much fat is really in it, especially when you compare it, and that goes for milk as well. Another thing that you may see is reduced fat. Now, this can be reduced fat. You can also see reduced sodium or reduced sugar or reduced calories. And what that is that 25% That product has to have 25% less of the fat or salt or sugar or whatever is reduced than the regular product. And if something says light, it has to have one-third fewer calories or not more than half the fat or sodium of the regular product. So I mentioned that those light specifically because if you have a regular product that's very high in calories, high in fat or salt or sugar, while it may have a reduced version or a light version, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's low in fat or fat-free or in sugar, for that example. It still can be high depending on how much you start with. And a good example of that would be popcorn. If you're going down and it's like, oh, this is reduced fat, or light, and it doesn't mean that there's no fat in it. It just means there's less than what it would normally have. When you're talking about cholesterol, things that are low in cholesterol are going to be no more than 20 milligrams of cholesterol and 2 grams of saturated fat. And for cholesterol-free, that's less than 2 milligrams of cholesterol in that particular serving. For sodium, low sodium is no more than 140 milligrams of sodium per serving. I mentioned earlier that we use a gauge of 250 or less per serving. So if you have something that's low, it's going to be less than no more than 140. If you have something that's sodium-free, that doesn't mean it has no salt in it, but it should have less than 5 milligrams per serving of that. Same thing for low calorie, no more than 40 calories per serving. If you have something, sometimes I'll see bread that has high in fiber listed on the label. And what that is going to be 5 grams or more of fiber per serving. So an example would be cereal, like Fiber One, that's going to have a higher amount of fiber in it than you might see. There are also things that like sugar-free, that have sugar-free on it. That doesn't mean it has doesn't have any sugar in it, but it's going to have to be less than a half a gram of sugar per serving or 0.5 grams. And an example of that would be Jell-O, sugar-free pudding. There are lots of sugar-free items that are out there now. You do want to take a look and find out what sweeteners they are using. I think it's always good to keep track of the artificial sweeteners that you might be taking in. Just as a mental note, I really do think that natural is a better way to go, but you should gauge and find out if you are having artificial sweetener. Don't take too much in, and if it's in a beverage that you're eating, you definitely, if you're thirsty, water is always going to be a great option. So let's just keep track of what we're taking in. Now, tips for using these labels. Food labels are very helpful. If you're shopping and you're getting some groceries, it can help you shop and eat for better health overall. And so the numbers on the labels, if you're looking at them at first, it may be a little bit confusing. And so I just wanted to give you some tips with all the information that I gave you, which actually may feel like a lot of information, but I want to give you some tips to get you started on using food labels to compare foods that you're considering getting or that you often get. The first tip would be to begin by comparing the labels on different brands of one food you normally buy, like a dried cereal or a canned soup. You just take the one you normally get, grab another one, and compare them, and sometimes that can be very insightful. The second tip would be to focus on one thing at a time. If you want to eat less fat, then you want to compare the total fat and saturated fat that's on the label. If you want to eat less salt, you want to compare the sodium. Same thing goes for sugar. I'm not sure if I mentioned it or not, but for something like yogurt, while you're having, if you're having low-fat or fat-free version of yogurt, it's important for you to look at the sugar for that as well, because yogurt that has fruit on the bottom that you stir up is going to have considerably much more sugar than that has the fruit blended into it. And so that's something important to consider. So when you're comparing the two, you want to select the brand that has the least fat, least sodium, or sugar. The third tip would be to compare how much you really eat to the serving size shown on the label. And if you eat more, you're going to have to multiply the numbers on the label by the numbers of serving that you normally eat. So I will give you a perfect example. I happen to love eating cereal, actually. I like cereal. I can eat it for breakfast, lunch, or dinner usually. But it's a good idea to get an idea of what a serving size looks like in the bowl that you would normally eat. That's another thing that can be surprising. The serving size, on average, is about 3/4 cup for cereal. But if you're grabbing the big bowl out of the cabinet and you're just kind of filling it up with cereal, you can probably have twice as much or even 3 times as much that is listed on the serving size. So in that case, you're going to need to multiply by 2 or 3 or, you know, or whatever the numbers of calories and everything else that's listed on the label. So that is definitely something that's important to keep in mind. They are actually online. You have a lot of different information on how to help you read the food labels. And I really hope that these food labels or the information was important to you. Sometimes it can be distracting. It does take time. I do realize that in order to come into the grocery store, we might be used to getting a certain kind of food all the time, and so you just throw it in the cart. I'm used to getting this. Let me just grab that. But if you have time on your hands to actually go through and look and compare, you can wind up planning healthier foods to bring into your home and healthier foods to prepare just by doing that. I actually had a question from someone, and it was talking mainly in preparation for this about the number of sugar, like how much is too much on the sugars. And even for patients that have diabetes, there's not a specific amount of sugar that they recommend that or that's recommended. Usually it's kind of you do not so much an exchange, but you kind of plan it out. So if you're going to eat a certain amount, you need to change up what you're eating for total carbohydrates rather than just sugar. So rather than focus on the sugar amounts, usually when I look, I'll try to aim for, like, how much sugar? Is it less than 10 grams for me personally and go from there? But what's going to be important overall is the total carbohydrate that you're taking in, both in packaged foods as well as in normal foods like fruits and vegetables, if you're having potatoes. That's going to be something that you need to factor into your total carbohydrate amount. And I mentioned complex carbohydrates are going to be a little bit better than simple. So if you're having whole grains, that's going to be a little bit better than just plain sugar or even white grains if you're talking about carbohydrates overall. I just want to remind you that the information presented on this program is for education and motivation purposes only. Please consult your personal physician or other healthcare professional before starting, changing, or discontinuing any treatment. I want to thank you again for joining me today. Please be sure to tune in next week when our topic will be working up a sweat. We're going to talk about physical activity. We're going to go into a little bit more detail on things with respect to aerobic resistance and stretching. So we'll talk about physical activity next week. So please tune in and join me next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, remember to be healthy and God bless. Take care.